Anyway, Jimmy, on behalf of Malaysian people, Malaysian industry and musicians, and of Asia, I'm thankful, for your opportunity to come up and do your guitar talk show. It's a great thing. Thank you so much, Jimmy. Thank you
Well,
so much.
I appreciate it. It's my pleasure to do it, and to be here with you, Nat. And so hopefully we can talk and we can learn a little bit about who you are as a musician and how you got to where you are and stuff like that. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to dig right in. I see a lot of Marshalls and Ibanezes and locking tremolos, so I know you got to be into the rock thing. So how did that all come to be? I mean, how did you get involved in playing guitar to begin with?
Okay, I started back in 1978.
Wow.
1978, that was like when I was like 15 years old. And then it started fast when I started my first band when I was 16 years old, back in 1981. The band Babylon, and our first band is called Loser. Loser. Back then I started until I was playing in a club in 1984 to 1986. And then rest all this, all the collection of all my guitars, my amplifiers, listening to all the great, like Uli Roth. I was, oh yes, these are all the wonderful players who inspired me to, to play and to learn as deep as I can, yeah. Until today, my band is still around, Jimmy, and we all do recording, we all do concerts and here and there, yeah.
Yeah. So were you influenced by a wide variety of players, or was it, just a, was it just rock players? Was it just, I mean, was there a wide variety of music that influenced you?
Yeah, because I as teenager I was into Shanana, Donny Osmond, all these great heroes of mine. And then when you come to rock, obviously it's Jimi Hendrix,
Yeah.
and then the Scorpion, you had Whitesnake, the old Uriah Heep, and all these great cats, blues like B.B. King, I love them, Buddy Guy, Albert. These are all the wonderful cats, man. I really, really dig in them, seriously. And then I have like Steve Ricketter, Larry Carlton, partly into them, yeah.
Yeah. Have you been or are you trained in any way? I mean, did you take lessons? Did you go to any kind of school, or did you learn completely on your own?
No, I was completely on my own.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, only by listening to songs back then.
Yeah.
Back in the early 80s, you went through it, I went through it.
Out of all of that, though, I mean,
Close.
when you're self-taught, let me ask you this. I mean, what do you think are the what were the most important aspects for you of developing yourself as a player, being self-taught? Like, I can say for myself, the thing that's been the most important thing to me is the ability to really hear things well and understand what's going on, well, with the way things hear. Now, some people learn differently. Some people learn, they learn the neck, first, or maybe that's how they learn, scales maybe, or, box shapes, because I don't read music myself, and I play by shapes and by hearing and stuff. And so, I mean, how did that develop for you? Because I know it's a little bit different for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good question, Jimmy. But
Thank you.
all these years I was into melody. I was not into technical at all. Because my heroes back then were playing all these great melodies, the Beatles, you're talking about Gary Moore, Thin Lizzy, Old Scorpion by Uli Roth, that years and years of playing all the songs. I developed this hearing and
So why don't you tell us a little bit? I've seen you play guitar in some videos and stuff that you've shared with me and stuff. And so I'm curious as to what is important when it comes to a guitar. Everybody's got, you know, aspects of the guitar that are really important. For some people, it might be the way the neck feels. For some people, it might be the pickup configuration. For some people, it might be the shape and the feel of the guitar. What is it for you?
I'm into all Strat, and I still have one, that one. You know, my beautiful 1975 original Strat. Because when it comes to practicing or to venture into melody, I'll go with this.
Yeah, you know, I started out on the Strat, and it was my main guitar for a really long time. I love it because it's versatile and it's comfortable, you know, and it feels good to me in that.
Yeah.
But over the years, I don't know, I've come to this place to where if I was stranded on a desert island with one guitar, it would probably be a Telecaster. Yeah, I've just come to really like the, you know, the Telecaster quite a bit, simply because I don't know, I feel like it's the workhorse of guitars. You know, I don't know why, but it it's equally as versatile. You can do anything with it. It could be used as a canoe paddle if needed.
I kind of agree with you. I have an old one before, 1969 inline. Yeah. I have it before. It's a great guitar. Telecaster is a great guitar. I agree.
Yeah. Well, you know, a 75 Strat, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with it. I noticed some of the other guitars that I've seen you play, you know, Charvel, I think was one of them. Is that Charvel? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Those I love a Charvel. They're great guitars. They feel great. They play great. They sound great. Yeah.
This American Shokal Charvel. I have two of them.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this. I mean, I know this might be a crazy question. I talk to people from all over the world in that, and I know in some places getting gear is difficult. Is it hard to find gear? Is it hard to get a Marshall amp or a Charvel guitar or an American Strat where you are? I mean, do you have to go through jump through a lot of hoops, wait a long time, or are there stores and shops, you know, guitar stores around that actually carry some of them?
You'll be surprised, Jimmy. We have tons of shops here.
Yeah.
We have lots of shops here. We have guitar stores. We have, you know, a lot of music, big stores in KL, in Malaysia. So, Singapore is near with us. You can always take a plane, a 1-hour flight to Singapore and get all the latest gear, vintage gear. And down in Malaysia, we have a lot of shops who sell Marshalls and a lot of amps and Rivera to what you call Soldano, Bogner and all that. We have it.
Wow. Yeah. Now, I met a guy in the Philippines that has his own line of guitars, and he has a bunch of stores, and he's kind of a big to-do in that area. And I don't know if he's big to-do in all of Asia, but I think his last name was spelled J-A-N-C-I-T-O. And he's got his own line of guitars. Is that a name that's familiar to you where you are? No?
No. Okay.
I didn't know.
Probably in Philippines, but not, it's more into, you know, PRS and Yamaha open up guitar factory in Indonesia.
Right. Yeah, I know a lot of guitars come from that part of the world, and I know here in America, you know, it's messed up because there's this stigmatism here that if it's not made here, it's not good. And I feel the exact opposite of it. I really do, because some of the best guitars that I have are made in Korea or Japan or Malaysia, some of those areas. I mean, people think that it has to be made here. If it's not made here, well, then it's not a good guitar. And I'll be honest, I own about 73 guitars, I think is how many I own. But out of all those, the ones that I play on a regular basis, out of the 10 that I play all the time, 9 of those are not made in America. You know?
Oh, I can agree with you, Jimmy. You know why? Those days, 30 or 35 years ago, maybe, yes, it's difficult to get a quality instrument from Asian country. Mm. But now, with CNC, with all these big, huge factories who can cut, you know, as perfect as possible, and they can set up the guitar as good as possible. Mm. Now, I don't see a problem.
Yeah. I actually have a friend that has a whole bunch. I mean, he's got quite a few of what they call the Chisbins, right? The Gibsons that are made in China, right? They're kind of, it's like a Les Paul and it's branded as a Gibson, but it's not. Yeah. Chibson. And so I've actually been around these and I've played them, and I got to tell you, if I had the choice of spending the $300 or $500 to get one of those, or the $3,000 to $5,000 to get an actual Gibson, I would take the one in China, simply because all I got to do is a couple of small modifications and the guitar is going to look and play equally as well, if not better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
I agree.
I agree with you.
Because if you put a Ferrari and you put a Cadillac, without the driver, who can drive those cars good? You never know. So Ferrari cannot move by its own. You need to have a driver. Mm. Same thing as these Chinese made guitars, or call it Gibson, whatever. I heard. And I was playing, I was given a present from a guy, a fan of mine from Switzerland. He came here all the way and gave me a guitar called Vintage. The brand Vintage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great guitars. Yeah.
It's good, seriously.
Yeah.
Damn good.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, but it's such a stigmatism here, unfortunately, you know. But there's so many great players around the world that are introducing, you know, that gear, those guitars and stuff to people here, you know. It's like everybody knows that Yamaha's a great brand. It has been a great brand for a really long time. But there's a lot of people here that wouldn't buy a Yamaha guitar simply because it's not made here. But then you turn around and you watch some of the players, you know, that are in Asia that are endorsed by Yamaha. And you go, oh my God, I mean, they sound amazing. They play amazing. And then when you actually sit down with one, you realize, you know, there's such a huge misconception in that. I think it's cool though, that you're in a location though, to where you can get it. Because as I said before, I've talked to people in different parts of the world that just don't have that, you know, getting a Fender Strat or getting a good Ibanez or getting whatever is really, really difficult to do. And so it sounds to me like where you are, there's lots of music and lots of opportunity. Is that correct?
Well, if you say about opportunity, I think I have to be very honest. There are a lot of good bands here, a lot of good, great musicians, you know, but at times, there's still got to do with cronyism and all this. I'm so sorry to say this because it's like European, maybe in America, in Japan, I have friends over there who say it's more wide and more acceptable there. Here, it's like, man, you have to know somebody, and then, you know, if you know someone, they can bring you there. And it's, but not all, but some of it is like that. You know, you don't have to be a great player. All you have to do is smile, show your face, you end up getting a record deal. You know? It happens, Jimmy. It happens. But in my situation now, I have like my own forum. It's like yours, but mine, I'm called the 3M forum, where I introduce this, how to get to play on your own. Try to play jam and try to look for your own voice. Very, very important. Then end up becoming other people.
Yeah.
You know, they end up like Steve White want to be a Steve White wannabe, which is, for me, it's okay for you to start to learn and to copy, it's okay, no problem. But end of the day, after 1 or 2 years, you need to find your own voice. You know, it's like you and me. We jam. You know what I like about you, Jimmy? What I like about you? The first time I hear you, because you jam on your own. That's what I like about you. You know, you're not trying to be, you know, Malmsteen or Steve Y or whatever, you know. What I hear is Jimmy Warren playing guitar. So that's the beauty part of it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that, because it was a conscious decision in the beginning to not learn other people's stuff or how other people did stuff. You know what I mean? A lot of people, when they're starting out, and let's say they're going to play a Stevie Ray Vaughan song or a Jimi Hendrix song, most people are going to try to play that like they did, right? They're going to try to figure out what notes they did, how they bend, and all that other kind of stuff. I was always the polar opposite of that. I would just do me in that song. I would just play along, right?
Same here.
Yeah. Because as you just said, in the end, what matters is your voice, right? I mean, there's already been a Jimi Hendrix and a Stevie Ray Vaughan, right? I mean, you can go down that path and, you know, and imitate them and turn that into some sort of living or career. But, you know, it's to be who you are, you know, and just express yourself the way you express yourself. It's difficult. True. Because I know for myself, you know, when I first started out, I played blues in Chicago with all the legends, and I wanted to go down that blues path. And so I formulated all my albums and everything that I did around that blues. But at the core of who I am as a player, that wasn't me. That was a part of me, but that wasn't me. So I didn't play like me. I tried to play to fit into this box, you know what I mean? That's there. And I think too many people do that. And you got to have your own voice and be your own person. He's back.
Yeah, man. Sorry.
That's all right.
What's wrong with the line?
Well, I mean, you're in a completely, you know, other end of the world than I am. So it happens. You know, it happens to me when I talk to people in Asia and Australia. That's when it happens the most, where you get that latency where it locks up and the bandwidth's low and stuff like that. Or if you get somebody that's like in the mountains, I get the people that live in like the Hollywood Hills and shit like that. You know, it's simply because of, you know.
This is I'm the first local guy from Asia to got this one.
What is it?
It's a Schroeder. It's a German boutique guitar by Mike Schroeder.
Oh, okay. It's really cool. Is that roasted maple neck?
This is one fabulous machine, man. Seriously.
Yeah. Does it have scallop fretboards or is it straight fretboard?
Just a straight board. Straight board.
Yeah. Is it roasted maple or just straight maple?
It's roasted maple.
Yeah.
Roasted.
Yeah, those are nice.
This work for 100 years, you know. This is prototype. He gave it to me.
What kind of pickup is that by the bridge?
This pickup is no more existent. It's PJ.
I'm sorry, you broke up.
Pickup by PJ Max.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So you
like the locking tremolo. Do you like those?
No, because I'm playing in a heavy metal band, so I'm playing alone. I'm playing a alone one guitar, so I don't want to end up tuning all the time.
Yeah.
So with this, I can play 1.5 hour show straight without tuning.
Yeah. Wow.
Without.
Wow.
Seriously. I'll send you a link on a concert. This one.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So how often do you play? I mean, and do you play just around your area or do you play outside of your country?
Okay, for recording wise, I normally do for different countries. From for Indonesian artists, for Singapore artists, for Taiwan artists, from India artists, and for local artists. I've been doing that for 32 years.
Wow.
Sessioning. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, I recorded about 2,500 songs, Jimmy, for the past 32 years. Yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Now, have you personally or a band you've been in, have you been signed to a label at all?
Yeah, we did. We was signed to Warner Music in 1988 on our first album.
Yeah.
And then my bassist passed away in late 90s. And then, yeah, we did two albums. We did two albums.
Yeah.
And then my singer was diagnosed with minor heart attack, minor stroke. Now currently we are with a different singer, latest singer, and a different bandmates. And now we have offer from Singapore, from Indonesia to sign us, but I was just thinking about, for me, just to get signed and just do nothing, I'm not interested. Seriously. I want to get something done. I want to get the message across. I have, you know, Leslie Lawrence, the lady who was talking good about you and a band that with you guys. She's been supporting me all this while for my musical career and all this, you know. She's really into the music thing, and she was like, "Hey, I think Babylon need to come to America. You guys need to come to Asia. Maybe it's not as easy as that, Jimmy. You know." I heard that you have a company, right?
Yeah, I have a record company. I own a label, and I own a management and booking company as well. And then I do the podcasts and stuff. It's tough. You know what? It's tough. What I try to do mostly with the people I work with is get them to Europe. Right? That's where I try to get them to go, because Europe, I mean, it seems to be I don't want to say easier, but you know, it seems to be easier. There's more money. The crowds are more appreciative. I don't know if it's because America is, you know, so hung up on Taylor Swift and stuff like that, you know, that makes it really difficult. But if you're a bar band, you work a lot, right? Because every bar in every neighborhood just about has a band, and they'll pay $200, $300, $400 for a band to come play. Now, if you're Paul McCartney or Coldplay or Steve Vai or those guys, you're going to work because you've got a really big audience. You know, you've been around a long time. You've got big people pushing you. But when you're in that middle, right, when you're an artist that's in that middle and you're on a small label, mid-sized label, whether you're independent, whatever it is, and you're trying to make a way for yourself, it is really, really, really fucking hard. And the reason it's hard is because the people at the very tippy top only care about people that can make them money, right? And the people at the very bottom and the bar bands and that, they're not going to pay $2,000, $4,000, $5,000, whatever, for somebody to come play in their bar, you know, for a few hours. They're just going to get some local guys that sound like the jukebox and, you know, pay them a few $100. So those guys in the middle, you know, have to really, really struggle. And most of the time, even though I work with some people, you know, at the top and have for a long time, most of the people I like to work with are the people in the middle, because a lot of times those are the people that got great friggin' music, really good bands, but just don't have opportunity. And it's tough here in the United States. Sure.
I tell you what, Jimmy, it's, let's say if you want to venture into Asian country, the best is still, I think, Malaysia is still to do, like 2,000 crowd venue or 5,000 crowd. You know, I know a few people here who owns, when you can do that kind of gig, that kind of crowd. You know, I know these people, I know the bosses, they are good with me. So even in Indonesia, I know a few guys who can bring all those great bands to, and they can jam together with a local band and do some great shows, you know. Why not?
Yeah, no, that would be great. I don't know, you probably don't know this, but last summer I almost moved to the Philippines. Yeah, I did. I almost moved. Yeah, you know, I sold my home and all my, you know, a lot of my stuff, and I was all ready to go in that. And then, you know, I have an elderly mother and she got ill and I ended up staying. But I was going to go there simply because I felt that if I personally went to Asia, I could probably do rather well, you know, as a musician, you know, and probably do okay. You know, I know some people in the Philippines. That's what led me to believe that. And they were the ones that were kind of guiding me through the process and stuff. But I've always felt, you know, that, you know, that's a good friends of mine, you know, tour Asia all the time, and it's huge for them, you know.
So there are some German people that I know. Mm-hmm. There are some Austrian people who comes here and work for years, and then, you know, they spend their money not going back.
Mm-hmm.
They bought like a big club, you know.
Yeah.
Big club, a boot club or rock club, and now you see it's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening. It's all every day, and then they have got another branch in Thailand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd love to come over there. I would, and I'd love to bring some of my bands over there, of course. But you know, because it's touring here in the United States is very difficult, very, very difficult. And that's why, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, you probably have, but a lot of bands that are from Asia and Europe don't come here. And the reason they don't come here is because, one, it costs so much money to travel and come over here and get visas and stuff like that. But then even when you do, I mean, you're competing with what? I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of bands that are here, you know, everybody's competing for the same thing. It's really, and it's not about talent. It's not about, you know, who's good, you know, and who can entertain and who can play well. I mean, it's not about that at all, unfortunately.
True. Anyway. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you doing now musically? What are you doing right now? I mean, going on.
I'm teaching. I have seminars, and now currently I'm into universities. The universities, local universities, they want to bring me to do my program, the GM program.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be going there in the Penang Island. There's an island called Penang, very popular, right?
Uh-huh.
I think you should know the name Penang. We have great food and great people. So the university people, they want to bring my program to educate the people there, the musicians there, you know, and then do some seminars and some talks and all this. Yeah. And perform.
Well, that's really cool. That's really cool. Well, I'll tell you what, I know it's getting late. You're in your neck of the woods, and
I'm okay.
I know. But I got another interview here in about 10 minutes. So, but anyway, it was an absolute pleasure, you know, talking to you. And, you know, if you want to send me some information on some promoters over there to see what we can do about possibly, you know, me coming over, I'd love to do it.
Yeah. Babylon, my band. Babylon is my band. Yeah. We will open up for you.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a good time.
On behalf of me, Malaysian, Malaysian industry, my family, wife and kids, my mom and my sister Leslie, and all my friends, New Orleans, we all thankful to have you on your guitar talk show, to have me, the first local Asian to come into the picture with you, bro. It's such a great move for me.
Well, it was really my pleasure. It was my pleasure in that. And it was really good talking to you. And, you know, let's keep in touch.
I will.
All right.
Take care, Jimmy.
You take care. Yep. Good night.
Night.